All right, good morning, everyone. So, I am not the normal preacher for everyone who's visiting. So hopefully, and this is a brand new sermon, so hopefully I'm not as surprised as you all when I hit the next on the slides. I should be pretty prepared for this morning. So we're going to talk about weights and measures. And I figured on a cloudy, dreary day, when everybody's probably a little bit tired, might be a great opportunity to talk about the study of how the ancient Hebrews measured their goods from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I'm kidding. Half of you were like, when I got up here, this is either going to be quick or it's going to be really long. And then I said that, and you were like, this guy is going to be really boring. Now, weights and measures is a serious thing. Imagine, I think everybody's got one of these. So Wes came prepared with props today. Everybody's probably got one of these at home, maybe multiple. All right, so this one, right here in particular, okay, this is about 22, 23 years old. I've had this thing for a long time. And the funny thing is when I look at 2 feet, that 2 feet hasn't changed. So if you're wanting an inkling of what I'm going to be talking about today, it's along those lines. Imagine if I gave different tape measures to a group of builders and they all had different lengths and units of measure that weren't the same. What kind of house do you think that I would have after they were done? Right? Do you remember the foolish man who built his house upon the sand? There might be a whole new parable about Wes if that was the case. So, look, from the beginning, we understand that all valuable things have to be measured. So when I was putting this lesson together and researching and looking for things that might catch your eye and be memorable for you when we talk about weights and measures, the number of governmental agencies that have something to do with weight and measures is astounding. And look down here, this one right here. The National Conferences on Weights and Measures. It's probably some riveting stuff whenever those guys get together, I bet. But no, fuel, food, agriculture, water, air, heat, even the temperature, all has a unit of measure. And you notice I put IRS on there. That's everybody's favorite, right? You want to see who doesn't have a sense of humor? Tell them that you have a different unit of measure for dollars whenever it's time to pay your due, and you'll find out what an absence of sense of humor is. So it's true that I would say these measures, we would refer to them as right and as accurate. Or as, and some might say, truth. But unfortunately, today, the truth is changing. So I could, and it's funny, we're studying this right now in the adult class, I could profess that I'm 10 feet tall. Okay? As a matter of fact, I may just decide that. It's everybody has their own truth today, so I'm 10 feet tall, folks. But this says that I'm not 10 feet tall, doesn't it? When in reality, I'm probably more akin to David's size instead of Goliath's size. And according to those today who respect the creation more than the Creator, as we heard read, they don't believe that there's only male and female, that we came from apes, that sins are not really sins, I'm just living my best life. I'm living what's right for me. And unfortunately, even that's turned from spouting untruths to and being agnostic about God to being actively hostile towards the Creator. it's a very different world that we're living in right now. And Luke gives us a stern reminder in Romans 1, verses 18 through 31. So a little bit of a lengthy read here. I'm going to go ahead and read this, though, because I think it's part of it was already read for us. I'm going to repeat it again, because this is a very important group of scriptures, I think, for us in talking about being accurate and being true. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. That's pretty clear. But again, because the truth is changing, people alter that story and they don't want to give credit to God. When in our hearts, in the very being of us, we know that is not true. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible mankind, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Does that sound a little familiar today? I hope I'm not the only one that's here this morning that thinks that animals seem to have more rights than humans today, which again is kind of a change from when we look back at what the scriptures hold true for us. Therefore, God gave them up to vile impurity and the lusts of their hearts, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to their degraded passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise, the men too abandoned natural relations with women and burned in their desire towards one another, males with males committing shameful acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And if that is not today, I don't know what verse better describes that. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind to do those things that are not proper. People having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unfeeling, and unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Man. So I guess it's maybe not quite, it's not all new. Right? And well, as Christians, look, we've got to be rational, and we've got to think back to what's happened over history. So for some of us, yes. I can remember, and this is a sad commentary, but I can remember 20 years ago, actually a little bit more than that, 25 years ago, as a teenager, my entire family, both sides of the family, were members of the church and devout followers of God. That is not the case today. Many of them have fallen away. And it's very sad for me, and I'm sure many of you all have similar experiences. But it's not new. We see that with what we've studied this morning. The Jews, the Israelites, they had a really hard time listening and being obedient and continually obedient. We have the same thing. So, the alteration of the truth is not new, and men's desire to bend the Word and the world to their own desires is not new. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, What has been, it is what will be. And what has been done, it is what will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Solomon said it pretty well. We're pretty repetitive. We like to think we're really smart and we're really advanced. And maybe in some ways we have. We've learned a lot. We've become very smart as a human race. But we're pretty stupid when it comes to the really simple things that we're supposed to be doing. Another truth that is not new is the fact that evil cannot comprehend good. You heard what Luke told them, told the Romans. We just read that. Romans, you're right. Sorry about that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 31. We see that God gave them over to it. They desired it so much that he said, you know what? You're on your own. That's up to you. You've made your bed, as my parents would have said, you've made your bed, now lay in it. John chapter 1 and verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. So, I want to give us some hope, because we do need some of that. Now there's the brimstone we just talked about, right? Some of us are old enough in here to remember when that was about all we got from the pulpit. So not saying that that's right or wrong, but certainly times have changed a little bit, and there's some things that we do need to focus on. One of those is, as I said, we often like to think today as Christians it's as bad as it's ever been. Well, I'm going to take you back to Genesis chapter 6. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. So the Lord was sorry that he had made mankind on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. What a terrible thing to hear from the Almighty, from the Maker, that he was grieved that he had put man on earth. Then the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind from whom I have created from the face of the land, mankind and animals as well, and crawling things and the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But, if you're reading along with me, what does verse 8 say? But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That should be hope to us. Regardless, if the entire world is debased and following after their own lusts and what they believe is true, using their own tape measure, or their own yardstick, as it were, as opposed to God's yardstick, we can still find favor. We can still serve the Lord, and we can still be pleasing to Him. We see the Almighty making a covenant with men in the form of a beautiful rainbow, which is supposed to be a reminder to us today that He will not do that to the world again, which has sadly taken on an entirely different meaning in the minds of the world today. As John recorded for us, the darkness could not comprehend the light. I think that's a pretty good analogy with the rainbow, if you think about that. Man has forgotten how they once so vexed the Lord that He wiped them from the face of the world, and the very thing that's a promise to us that it won't happen again, many of the people of the world have turned that into something terrible. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. While forgetfulness of the world should not disturb us, the Lord's favor of a righteous man should give us comfort. I think this is something that you all have studied here recently as well. Judges 17. So this I find a pretty funny story. Now, funny in irony in many ways, but also funny in how I look at it from my own perspective. So Judges chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Now there was a man on the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse and also spoke it in my hearing, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be my son of the Lord. So this kid takes this, or this guy takes this money, and he brings it back to her, and she blesses him for it. I'm telling you all, when I was growing up, if I had taken some of my parents' money, Addie wouldn't be able to sit in that pew today, because they would have spanked me so good. But she's blessing him. It's crazy. It's crazy to me. He returned the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother, and he said, and his mother said, I wholly consecrate the silver from my hand to the Lord, for my son to make a carved image and a cast metal image. So now I will return them to you. For most of us in the audience, I don't even have to talk about this, right? No graven images. God was pretty clear on what he thought, or how he wanted them to praise and worship him, and that was not the way. So he when he returned with the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, who made it into a carved image and a cast metal image, and they were in the house of Micah. So just a couple of verses ago, she says, I'm consecrating all of this to the Lord. Well, no, actually, I'm going to give you 200 pieces. Go make a graven image. Very confusing to me. Very confusing, which is, you know, shouldn't be much of a surprise to us, because verse 6 tells us what? In those days, there's no king of Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So here again, probably not on the scale we're talking about in the book of Genesis in chapter 6, but certainly we see even God's people deciding to do what's right in their own eyes. Does this sound familiar with everyone doing what's right in their own eyes? Love is love, gender fluidity, my truth, your truth. But these same people would not hold the position if I took 1,100 pieces of silver and said, this is all yours, and only gave them 200. They probably wouldn't be real happy with that. I don't imagine. So what theme do we see? Do you all see that I'm trying to get across here with this? We have very different stories from very different eras, and it's people doing what they want. And it's man deciding what is right and wrong. Which really, at the end, all points back to serving self. When everyone serves themselves, everyone's idea of right or truth is ever changing. And we see that today. I think I've seen a remarkable amount of changes just in my short lifespan. I can't imagine folks like Mo. I remember I had a great grandmother. She was, and no offense, ladies, so I know some of you are very cautious about your age. That's fine. But she was 97 for like 3 years in a row, because I don't know if that was forgetfulness or she just didn't want to tell people her age. But we think she was somewhere between 97 and 103 when she died. Imagine the changes that lady saw over just that 100 years. And it seems to me like today, things are changing even faster. And a piece of that is because we have generations of people now who are using their own yardstick and not God's. No one is wrong, but is anyone right then? If that's the case, if everybody's right, how can that be? If nobody's wrong, how can everyone be right? This also means, and this is a really important point I think we need to remember about this. And service to the Lord, or something greater and higher than ourselves, or service to ourselves, when we all choose what we want, when the world chooses what it wants to do, and not what God wants us to do, everyone gets left behind. Now, I would say that sounds like a pretty lonely place. Ask the prodigal son. What happened to him when he decided he was going to do what he wanted to do? He's eating in a pigsty what the pigs eat. Everyone is using their own yardstick. And so it comes to this. It's no small wonder to me, and probably to you, that depression is rampant. We've got all kinds of drugs for that now to try and take care of that. Violent crimes are prevalent. It's every morning. You turn on the news and there's something talked about somebody murdered somebody or somebody stabbed somebody or whatever other evil things people can do to one another. Anxiety is ever present. Have you seen that? I'm sure you have. With your coworkers, even with your family members. There is a high level of anxiety out there. Greed and envy seem to rule the hearts of many. We're in the deep heart of political season right now, and I think truer words were never said. Anger is abundant. And fear shrouds their minds. It shrouds their minds. And again, we're measuring things, this world is, based off of stuff that's what they decide is right and wrong, and these are the results. Whereas, I see it, and I have fresh eyes, right? We're pretty new to this congregation. So I get to come in and see the happiness, the camaraderie, the respect to the Lord that this group has. And I could see that day one walking in the door, that was the case. And it's because you all have decided that this is accurate and true, that there is no changing, that God's yardstick is the way we're going to measure ourselves, and that's going to dictate how we behave. Without God, there's only darkness. No Christian should be surprised by that statement. Pay attention to the one who made the yardstick. And so, I've said all this, and you're okay, Wes, yes, we understand that. We all believe that. You just told us that we do believe that, and you show that to us on a weekly basis. Pay attention to who and what influences you. And so look, us part-timers or bench warmers that get called whenever Scott's out to come up here and preach. We do this. Oftentimes, these lessons that I prepare, oftentimes, they're as much for me as they are for an audience. I need to be careful with the news and with political figures and with social figures that are out there. What influences are you letting into your home and into your mind? Movies, music, news. So I'll ask you this. Who are you letting influence you? Do you let these individuals that you look to, because we do, we all have them. We have sports figures or political figures or co-workers, or there's somebody that we look to. I have one, I'll tell you right now. That's a guy that I worked with at the last place that we were at down in Florida. He was a tremendous help to me personally and from a career standpoint. But we had very different ideological views on how to worship God. He was a Catholic, I'm not. Very good man. But I could not let his views on that change what I know is true and right from the Bible. So, and I think this is important for not only the young folks in this crowd, as we're told by those that report on that kind of thing, that the baby boomers are a bigger user of Facebook than any of the other generations out there now. Social media influencers, professional athletes, coworkers, politicians, friends and family. these folks that you are allowing, because you are, regardless of whether you want, we want to admit that or not, we watch them, we pay attention to their choices and what they say publicly, what they type up and post on whatever social media app that you use. You're taking that in. Do those folks judge themselves by God's yardstick or their own? If it's their own, you need to be very careful. I need to be very careful. I'm going to tell a quick story on that. This just happened in the last like week and a half. So I've got a good friend. He ended up leaving the company and he's working somewhere else. And somebody posted something from our company he did not like at all. And this was on LinkedIn. And so he texts me this screenshot. And he's giving me a message, right? That I am so dissatisfied, I am really unhappy about this. And I read his note, and I'm kind of laughing. And I just texted him back, I said, why are you looking at this? And he said, well, it's on my feed. That's what was his text, it's on my feed. And I said, Paul, I don't have a feed because I don't like to eat garbage. And here is a, if you don't take anything else away from this lesson today, towards the believer, the ways of evil are often subtle, slowly wrapping themselves, itself around the unwary, until they are so entangled it is nearly impossible to escape. And folks, that's the warning, that's the message on this changing. The influences that we let bring in, if we're not careful, that's what happens. And that is exactly what our adversary wants. He wants us to be so entwined with the views and the thoughts and the things of this world that it is almost impossible for us to get out. Think about that. Look how easy it is today to see impure things, to hear ungodly things, and if you're following the wrong things on social media, it's almost as if you're being fed poison. Here's a few verses for us. James chapter 1 and verse 7. God does not change, and He knows what we need. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Matthew chapter 6 and 22. Christ is talking about treasure. The eye of the lamp, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. It's a long list of warnings for evildoers. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. James chapter 4 and verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is the source not your pleasures that wage war in your body's parts? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says, to no purpose, he jealously desires the Spirit whom he has made to dwell in us? There's not very many times that you hear that statement made. He jealously desires the Spirit whom he has made to dwell in us. It's a powerful statement. and 6, I'll continue. But he gives a greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit therefore to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The stuff that we take in, that we allow to entertain us, is very influencing, whether we want to admit it or not. But here, in James, is a very clear statement. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That should give us a lot of hope and be a reminder for us as we go on with our daily lives. Come close to God and He will come close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. Too often we're looking for the wrong exaltation from people, not from God. Galatians 6 and verse 6. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to the flesh will often reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. And this is probably the strongest message in this entire lesson, and it's from me. I'm going to share that lesson that I reminded myself of with you all while I was putting this together. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. With all of the stuff. So think about the last 5 or 6 slides in the material that I've covered. It is very discouraging at times. And sometimes we can think we're in a pretty lonely place. But as we talked about in the adult class, the battle belongs to the Lord. He is with us. And so we shouldn't be discouraged. And verse 9, when he wrote that, That was to this guy right here. Maybe it was for you too. I don't know. So for our folks in the audience who are maybe a little younger in the faith, or maybe not a Christian yet, if you see the wisdom in the Word, here's what I would encourage you, admonish you to do. Study what Christ taught. The Gospels were written and Jesus spoke during that time very plainly. We can all understand the parables and there is so much wisdom in those verses. There is a simple truth in what he says, and then when we start applying those parables, the truths unfold and we see even more wisdom in God's Word. Then I would encourage you to study what his apostles taught. Their job was to continue that work and continue to spread the gospel throughout the world. And then, when you've studied that, I would tell you, you need to understand what God says is right and what He says is wrong. God's nature does not change. And therefore, what He deems holy and what He deems evil does not change. So we have many who would tell us today that that is not true and that man has progressed or they have evolved beyond that. Solomon said it very well. There's nothing new under the sun. If you listen to men, the direction you're headed today will not be the same direction you're headed tomorrow. It will be very different. And so, you're saying, Wes, you started this with a tape measure and talking about a yardstick. How does that all come together with what you've just said? Well, I want to talk for a second about measuring our souls. God set the measure, as I said, He determines what's good and what's not. But the great thing about what God, how much He loved us, is He sent His Son to live a life for us that we have detailed in the Scriptures that we can look at and see, this is how I'm supposed to be making my choices. We have a template. He didn't just tell us to go do. He proved it. And He's proved it over and over. And I'll leave you with this. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Christ asked the question, "For what profit is to a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his soul?" Now, this verse is often used to tell us not to covet or strive and after the wrong things or things that are worldly. But there's more to this world than wealth. There's popularity, there's acceptance, there's power. There's things that cannot be bought with money. But like so many verses, the wisdom, as I talked about, similar to the parables, there's so much wisdom in what Christ has left for us in the Scriptures. And this verse has a little bit more to offer than what's here on the surface. If we reason with this verse, one soul is worth more than everything in this world. Every bit of influence, every bit of wealth, every bit of land, one soul. And look how many there are here today. There's a great deal of wealth here. We must remember that sin has weight. It will be measured, regardless of intention. Our soul is far more valuable than anything this world has to offer. God has given us wisdom in His Word and a perfect example in Christ to follow. And it's because of Christ's sacrifice that we can be called His children. It's because of this sacrifice that we can be justified and look forward to a life when this one is over. So that's what I have for you all this morning. I hope you found it encouraging and hopefully reminding us as much as it did me in putting this together. So as is customary, we'll offer an invitation at this time, but that's something else I think we should often think about. Obviously, the invitation is for anybody who's not a Christian, we want you to be. God wants you to be. And the Scriptures tell us that the angels will rejoice when that happens. That's how big a deal it is. The angels rejoice when that happens. But there's also something else. There are lots of things that vie for our time and our attention and stress us out and give us anxiety. Perhaps you have been distracted by that. And you need the prayers of the congregation. There is no shame in asking for that. And it doesn't have to be in a super formal format. We are brothers and sisters together in this race until the end. And there's nothing wrong with leaning on each other and saying, "I need some help. Will you help me?" So, that's the invitation. Please think about these things and what we talked about today as we stand and sing.